This morning, I want to look at something that is very prevalent in this world today. In 2011, child poverty in the United States of America stood at 16.7 million children living in households with food insecurity. That was an increase of 35% more than the figures in 2007. In 2011, extreme poverty in the United States, i.e. those living on less than $2 a day before government benefits, was at levels of 1.5 million households. That's 2.8 million children living in households where there is less than $2 per day. A UNICEF report in 2013 ranked the United States as having the second highest relative child poverty rates in the developed world. One out of every 30 children, equating to 2.5 million children in the USA, are homeless. According to a 2016 study by the Urban Institute, teenagers in low-income communities are often forced to join gangs, save school lunches, sell drugs, or exchange sexual favors because they can't afford food. This is Manasseh, the country which were given the birthright blessings because of Abraham's obedience to God. But the United States is still one of the richest countries in the world. So how would that compare to the poorer countries? Just before the feast, Hurricane Matthew devastated Haiti, causing over $1 billion of damage, over 1,300 fatalities. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. At the time of the hurricane, it was still recovering from an ongoing cholera outbreak and also the powerful devastation of the earthquake in 2010. Much of the population still had not rebuilt their homes since that earthquake. The hurricane caused mudslides, took out infrastructure, destroyed 86,000 homes and displaced 99,000 homes. More importantly, it wiped out the crops in southern Haiti, leaving the population without a source of food or a source of income for the coming year. And this is just the tip of the iceberg that we see around the world. Famines in Ethiopia, civil war in Syria, to name just some of the ongoing contributing factors to poverty on a scale we have not seen before. All in a world with such awesome capabilities. This world we live in today, a world which chose to live by the knowledge of good and evil, a world which has been held captive for 6,000 years. But the millennial setting will be so diametrically opposite to what we see today. It will be so radically different. Christ himself described it as being a paradise. As an architect, I like to paint pictures, to give images to people. So I'm going to give a very brief picture of the millennium, specifically in relation to how poverty will be dealt with. Beginning of the millennium, the world has been totally reformed. The great earthquake in Revelation 16 has flattened the mountain ranges, and this has had an effect of rebooting the weather system. No longer are there areas of huge rainforests and rainfall one side of the mountain range and desert on the other side. The world's weather pattern has been so changed that there is now rain in due season. Not, as we've seen in America, a year's worth of rain over a couple of days, while a few hundred miles away in a different state, the worst droughts for 100 years, both devastating lives, crops, and everything that we see. As described in Isaiah 43, God has created rivers in the deserts, waters in the wilderness, barren wastelands are now fertile, and he has comforted the waste places, and he has made the wilderness like Eden. In the world today, only about 10% of the land surface is actually tillable or arable land. Contrast that to the land in the millennium, where 100% of the land is fertile, green, growing plants and flowers blooming with such beauty, crops filling the fields, livestock out in the fields, fat and healthy, are multiplying. Crops which are harvested by the people when it is ripe, without fear of losing it because of a hurricane or a drought. Crops which are so abundant that year on year, I did try to print it out and I was told that the printer was out of ink, so technology at its best. Crops which are abundant that year on year, they are more plentiful, resulting in the sower overtaking the reaper, the barns overflowing with produce. All people now have food on their plate every night, full of goodness and health. The price of that food is fixed. There is no inflation or currency. No currency wars to devalue the fruit of your labours. The price of a bushel of wheat is the same at the end of the millennium as at the beginning of it. Financial stability. The millennial world is a world at peace. No longer learning war. Man has turned all his swords into plowshares. And he is learning to manage the land. No longer is the land being laid waste by cluster bombs and poisons destroying hopes and dreams and shattering lives of those that live there. Everyone has their own vine, their own fig tree to sit under. Everyone has land which remains theirs as a perpetual possession, being returned to them in the year of Jubilee if they have ever decided to sell it. No more will the super rich be able to gather possessions and land at the expense of the poor, forcing them further and further into poverty. The fields will produce vast crops, as we said, and they will be harvested as outlined in Leviticus 23, such that the corners of the fields will be left for any who are in need. Because as they go through the millennium, people will be given the opportunity to manage their own financial affairs. They may end up without the resources themselves as they learn and are being taught. So they will have the opportunity to gather the food that they need to survive. Long gone are the days of free handouts by the government. If you don't work, you don't eat. Also, if any of the brethren gets into debt or falls into poverty, there is a commandment that you shall help them like a stranger or a sojourner, and he may live with you and have the opportunity to work off their debt as a hired servant or a sojourner. The relationship of master and servant that we remember today will be long gone. There will not be the harsh master with the servants and the slaves. It will be more like mentor and mentee, with the master teaching the person that is in financial difficulty how to manage their finances and how to use the resources, how to use the land to grow and to benefit. It is not a case of once you're in financial debt, you stay there. God has put into place all of the laws that make sure that that does not happen. These are just some of the tools, the mechanisms, the side effect of the actual reason that poverty has been eradicated. Poverty has been eradicated by one action of mankind. Turn, please, to Micah 4. Micah 4, and starting in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and he shall walk in the paths. And we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Mankind will submit to God. All of mankind, with no exceptions, submitting to God's government. And this one action and the result of it will solve poverty throughout the entire world. We will be there teaching mankind the laws of God, teaching them how to live in accordance with his laws and his statutes that lead to endless prosperity. As Mr. Pippi mentioned on the opening night, God wants to bless all of mankind. He wants us all to have peace. He wants us all to have happiness and abundance in all things when we obey and worship him. Turn, please, to Zechariah 14, because it won't be rolled out globally right the way across the world on day one. Zechariah 14, starting in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up or enter in, they shall have no rain, and they shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The wonderful world tomorrow, which we saw a glimpse of earlier, will not instantly be rolled out across the whole world, only on the nations that submit to Christ and his government. Once the nations submit, they will start to receive the rain in due season, and the rest of the blessings will follow until the whole world becomes the paradise that Christ foretold. Turn please back to Deuteronomy 28, because ancient Israel were given the opportunity to receive the blessings that we just talked about. But Satan was broadcasting, and they did not have the Holy Spirit to work with them. But we will see here exactly why poverty will be removed. It's just Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and of the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your baskets and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Dropping down to verse 8, the Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses, and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people to himself, just as he has sworn it, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body and in the increase of your livestock and in the produce of your ground, in the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasures and the heavens to give you rain in your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. This is the reason why mankind will no longer live in poverty. As Mr. Armstrong repeatedly taught us, it all comes back to the two trees, choosing the tree of life as opposed to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is the reason why poverty will be eliminated in the millennium.